Hi everyone, my name is Kemiola and welcome back to the What to the Weary podcast. If this is your first time coming up on one of these episodes, you know, maybe listening or watching, welcome. Nice to meet you. My name is Kemi. I'm your, I don't know, random internet stranger, really, just trying to encourage you on things about life and, you know, work, relationships, friendships, all the things really. So welcome, nice to meet you. And if this is not your first time, we are at episode 5, guys. If you see this moving, it's because one of my pets is going crazy here. I can't get him to get out of the room, and I've just decided to go ahead and shoot this with him doing his thing. Anyways, today I want to talk about one of my favorite things to talk about. This is one of my favorite things to talk about because in conversations that I've had, with friends and just with people generally, it's a difficult concept for them to grasp sometimes. And I agree, it was actually quite like that for me too. It was a difficult concept for me to grasp at some point, till I realized that it isn't so difficult, you know. And this is the concept of forgiveness. So yeah, I want to talk about letting go. Letting go is an amazing concept because a lot of times when we talk about letting go, we see it from, you know, why should I forgive them? They did something so wrong. Why should I, blah, 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 you know? And I think that's majorly the biggest problem about forgiveness is that people see forgiveness from the POV of the offender, you know? So they never see it from their POV. They see it from the POV of, oh no, that's wrong. Maybe what I'm trying to say is they put the offender front and center and not them. And what I mean by that is they make the focus that person and what that person has done. So for instance, someone has wronged you and you're refusing to let them go because they did something so great to you. You know, at some point you of course you think you're talking about how much they've hurt you, but at some point it becomes, you know, about how much power they have over you. It becomes about how much impact they have over your, you know, mental being, your state of mind, and all the things, you know. And just to, I think one of the biggest moments, one of the like eureka moments for me for learning about forgiveness was with my old cat. So I have pets. I do have a dog and a cat now, and but this cat is more playful and less troublesome. I did have a cat before. His name was Leo. Leo was like the nicest cat. Very playful, very fun. He understood prompts and commands. He, you know, whenever I came back home from work or just from outing, he went crazy. Like, we loved each other, you know. And while Leo was all of that, all of those, see, it's the thing, it's a recurring thing, my inability to use words. It's never gonna end, guys. I mean, this is episode 5. If we get to 50, I'm still going to be doing this, just saying, you know. So yeah, well, let's see how it goes. But yeah, so yeah, we love each other. And in the middle of all those things that Leo used to do, I think one of the things that I found the cutest was how territorial he was. Leo was very territorial. Leo was always like, don't touch my stuff. You know, you're trying to play with him. He can take just a minimal amount of you touching his toys before he goes crazy, like, hey, don't touch my stuff. Again, as I always do, you know, breaking transmission. Sorry about the traffic sounds. Today it's even like louder than usual because I'm shooting like in the middle of the day, stuck in the middle of the day when all the cars are going around, and it's a weekend today, so yeah, that's happening. So Leo was like that. It would always be like my space, my stuff, my, you know, me. Ooh, normal. I mean, it's normal for some animals to be like that. And one of the things that made it cute was whenever I tried to clean out his litter box. So if he had food there and I just want to scoop it out, you know, and do the things, he would always try to swipe at my hand. Now, cats do that normally. I have had 3 cats, but Leo was like the most extra in his defensive attempts. It would really scratch me at the time. I mean, now I barely have any scratches, and But Leo was crazy. He would scratch me, go crazy, jump, swipe on my face because I'm bending over, all things. And I remember one day I was saying, Leo, let me clean this out, And pardon my French, but what I had said was, if you don't let me clean this shit out, you're not going to have a clean space to make new shit. And then it was like he understood me because he started staring at me, and I started laughing. And then I started thinking more about what I had just said. And then it started sinking in and creating new meanings in my mind, And I kept thinking about it, in the sense that letting go is a big thing. I mean, yeah, of course, my central focus is forgiveness, but the idea of just even letting go is such a big concept, and a lot of times we fail to see how big a concept it is. So letting go of the old, so letting go of the old means that you can always create space for the new. And what that means is, say you have old hurts, old disappointments, old feelings of hatred or pain or whatever. If you can let that go, then you can free up space in your heart. Because what happens is these things, the pain, the disappointment, the stress, whatever, even just old impression, right? Old ways of doing things, whatever it is, if you let go of something, the nature of life or the nature of nature, because I don't know what other word to use right now, still can't English, but yeah. The nature of life is to fill vacuums. So if you actually take out, the space where you have your hurt or where you have your disappointment or where you have your pain, if you take out that pain, what you're gonna have left is an empty space. And then it can be filled with new stuff. If you take out even to like natural things, so an example, right? I used to be a grade A hoarder. I mean, I'm recovering now, I'm much better. I am way better. I can't even say much better. Like, I am way better. I am extremely, like, I am way, 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 way better than before. But I used to be a grade A hoarder. I mean, when you grow up in like an African home, one of the things that I'm sure people can relate with is the nylon bags. See, I had nylons. I had bags for days. Like, it was a flex. It was my flex. I had nylons. You want to talk about big nylons, small nylons, backpack bags, shaka. Oh yeah, you may not understand this if you're not Nigerian, but like the woven bags, the big bags, small bags, heavy duty bags. Tiny nylon bags, those black tiny nylon. I had all of them, and I had them from like buying stuff outside. I didn't intentionally go out to buy those things. I had them from buying stuff outside, but then I was stopping them, and then one day I was just cleaning up my house, and I had this huge bag, like this huge bag. I was wondering, what is this and where is it from? And it's a bag full of nylons. I'm not joking. I was shocked. Because I don't know how I was able to amass that much trash. Because at the point it was trash, like why have so much? Like I had so many random things lying around my house just that way. Examples of my hoarding, I used to call it, I'm a writer, I think I say that way too much, but yeah, just to reiterate, right? And I have a lot of pens. And then what I would do was if I used a pen up and it was now empty, I would keep the case. So I had a Ziploc bag full of empty pen cases. I used to do that. Chapstick. If my chapstick ran out, I would keep the case. So I had a Ziploc of empty chapstick cases. I had just like a stack of empty cutting board cases. Like I used to hoard stuff a lot. And so at the time that I had done this cleaning, I had a flatmate. I was in a different place, and I remember one day I was cleaning up my room. I just entered my room and I'm like, oh my God, I have so much stuff. And that's how I felt. I genuinely felt like I had so much stuff, right? I'm like, how did I amass all this? Okay, adulting, grown woman, okay-ish. And I'm like, let me just clean up a bit. And by the time I'm done cleaning out, and I realize that all the stuff here is stuff that I've been hoarding, the breeze. The air, the way the air flowed differently in my room was insane. I was like, oh my God. So all the stuff that I had this whole time was trash. That's how much I used to hoard. And so, just clearing that out, it became a whole thing for me. It even went into my outfits because, as at 2 years ago, I still had outfits from uni. And I graduated uni in 2016 for context. But I still had clothes from then, which, I mean, it's not a bad thing. It's just why? What was the point of that, you know? And so, what I did was throw out a lot of those things. And then for newer clothes that I wasn't even using, gave them out. And the way things just sort of changed in that I suddenly started getting, you know, gifts of clothes. I started getting, people were buying me clothes for no reason. People were just giving me like fabric to sew with. Like they would give me Ankara fabric. Some people gave me just regular chiffon fabric or just regular fabric, satin fabric, whatever. I was just getting a lot of clothes gifts, and I was like, oh, wait, is it because I cleared out my closet and now I don't have that many clothes? So, what happens? What that taught me is when you clear out the old, like I said to my cat, if you clear out the old, you're gonna make way for new stuff. And as you grow, you definitely need new stuff. You know, you can't keep holding on to what you knew before, you can't keep holding on to what you had before. Now, to bring this to forgiveness, right? We're gonna go to the scriptures. So my favorite scripture for this is, or my reference scripture for this is Matthew 18, right? So in Matthew 18, something that Jesus talked about, something that I love about the teachings of Jesus is how he constantly spoke to lifestyle. I think I referenced this in the last episode where in most of his teachings, he just talked about how to live, right? How to live, how to love, how to live the God way, how to love the God way. Yeah, and this is Matthew chapter 18 from verse 21 to 22. So I referenced this in the last episode where I was talking about forgiveness, and I said Jesus said 70 times, 7 times, and I'm sure he wasn't referring to ever, forever. He was referring to in a day. So this is the full scripture, right? It's when Peter came to him. So I'm just going to read in NLT as usual. Then Peter came to him and asked, Lord, how often should I forgive someone who sins against me? 7 times. And verse 22, no, not 7 times, Jesus replied, but 70 times seven. Right? So this verse, like I said, it points me to like how easy forgiveness should be. How seamless, how much a part of your day and life forgiveness should be. Because if we go by what Jesus has said in this scripture, he's saying, look, let it come to you this way. Like someone, before they even do it, before it even settles in your spirit as an offense, like already make a decision to forgive. You know what that does for you? I know that we've talked about this in the context of just other people, but again, bringing it to the context of lifestyle, you know. Like I said earlier, it's when we don't forgive, it becomes more about the other person and what they've done than about us. And if it's about us, what do we want? We want peace, we want rest, we want ease. And if, you know, there are things that can still trigger unrest in you, there's a need for more control. And you can only find that in certain habits, and one of those habits is forgiveness. Yes, you can meditate and breathe and take it easy, and you know, there are these measures that we take where before you respond, count 1 to 10, all of those things work. But I'm saying, even when the situation is heightened, even when okay, the damage has been done, then what do you go to? You should go to forgiveness because that also enables that peace, right? And another major reason why you should forgive is, how do I put this? Another major reason why you should forgive is the mirror of your relationship with people should be God's relationship with people. So whenever you see God's relationship with people, you should want to mirror that and let that be your relationship with people. Now, when I say that, I understand that this can be taken out of context and we can refer to God punishing the Israelites, because usually when you talk about that, when you talk about the personality of God, people are quick to say, oh, what God? The same God that made the ground swallow so and so people, the same God that did this, the same God that, no. I'm talking about God through the lens of Jesus, in that we have that new salvation, that New Testament, right? And so to say that is, if the mirror of God's relationship, if your relationship rather mirrors God's relationship with people, then your approach to forgiveness will be easier, because it's that when Jesus sees us, he does not see our sins. There's even that scripture that says, I will no longer consider your iniquity for my name's sake. If God can say that, if God can say, I will not consider your sins for my own sake, then I mean, why not you? It's usually the basic to me, right? Because children learn from their parents. I think creations should learn from their creator. So we should learn from the God who made us. And if the God who made us has said, I will not consider your sins for my own sake, then let that even be your own mantra. You know, look at somebody who has hurt you and say, I will not consider your sin for my own sake. Obviously, that's not an easy thing to do. I'm not saying that it's going to come to you naturally, or because that's what God does, you're just going to, hey, just go forgiving people like this. But I'm saying it can be done. And, you know, this scripture, the Bible encourages us a lot. You know, Paul in his letters talked about forgiveness. Jesus talked about forgiveness. In fact, this scripture that I read, there's a larger story to it, right? After Jesus tells Peter to forgive 70 times, 7 times, then he goes into storytelling. One of my favorite things, you know, as a storyteller myself, one of my favorite things about Jesus is how he talks with stories. And this story is one of my favorite ones. This is one of my biggest reference for forgiveness in the Bible, right? So he goes on in verse 23, still Matthew 18, to say, therefore, the kingdom of heaven can be compared to a king who decided to bring his account up to date with servants who had borrowed money from him. In the process, one of his debtors was brought in who owed him millions of dollars he couldn't pay. So his master ordered that he be sold along with his wife, children, and everything he owned, pay the debt. 26, but the man fell down before his master and begged him, please be patient with me, I will pay it all. Then his master was filled with pity for him, and he released him and forgave his debt. But when the man left the king, he went to a fellow servant who owed him a few thousand dollars. He grabbed him by the throat and demanded instant payment. His fellow servant fell down before him and begged for a little more time. Be patient with me and I'll pay it, he pleaded. But his creditor couldn't wait. He had the man arrested and put in prison until the debt could be paid in full. When some of the other servants saw this, they were very upset. They went to the king and told him everything that had happened. 32, then the king called in the man he had forgiven and said, you evil servant, I forgave you that tremendous debt because you pleaded with me. Shouldn't you have mercy on your fellow servant just as I had mercy on you? Just as I had mercy on you? Then the angry king sent the man to prison to be tortured until he had paid his entire debt. And verse 35, Jesus rounded up by saying, that's what my heavenly father will do to you if you refuse to forgive your brothers and sisters from your heart. So, I know I did a little bit of speed reading there, but I hope that you got it. Yeah, so here Jesus is telling us, look, if you are unable to forgive other people, why do you expect forgiveness? Which is one of the funniest things about human nature. We always crave understanding and grace, even when we are incapable of giving any. A lot of times, we do not forgive people that have hurt us. A lot of times, we have strict standards. Sometimes, your standards for others are, like, so strict, they are double or triple level of strictness than standards of discipline that you have for yourself. So you set, sometimes some people set higher standards for other people than they set for themselves. And it's a, you can't do that. Or maybe you can, but you shouldn't. Because like we learn in Beatitudes, Matthew 5, is it Matthew 5? Yes, it's Matthew 5. We learn there that blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. So if you want to receive mercy, first God will have mercy on whom he will have mercy. But a surefire way to receive mercy is to be merciful. A surefire way to receive forgiveness is to forgive. A surefire way to receive kindness is to be kind. That scripture that talks about giving says, give, it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaking together, and running over. And I know it was referring to like funds and stuff, but I like to apply it to everything. What you give is what you will receive. If you're somebody, for instance, maybe you have your birthday and you get a lot of gifts. Best belief is because you give a lot of gifts. If you do not give gifts at all, you get maybe one or two, you know, complimentary gifts from people who really love you. and maybe who have experienced kindness from you before. But you cannot receive something that you don't give. So I think if I'm going to encourage you today to forgive, I'm going to start from saying, if there's no reason for you to forgive, the biggest reason for you to forgive is so you can receive forgiveness from other people and from God. Another scripture that I like that talks about forgiveness, it's in Proverbs, right? This is Proverbs 17. This is Proverbs 17, right? Here, the verse is verse 9. Here, it says, "Love prospers when a fault is forgiven, but dwelling on it separates close friends." So, not to be dramatic, but if you're somebody who harbors or who lives in unforgiveness, you are very surely going to end up alone at some point. Or if you don't, you're going to end up surrounded by people who lie to you, hypocrites, people who don't tell you the truth because they don't want to offend you. And again, even that is not a good thing. You want to be in a place where when there's need for the truth, you are told the truth, and when there's need for correction and reproof, you're given that. And if you're surrounded by people who can't give you that, or if you are not surrounded by anybody at all because everyone is too scared to offend you, that's not a good place to be in. So, the thing about letting go, about forgiveness that we don't even like to think about is how it gives us peace. Now, I'm gonna really talk about that. In letting go, right? Again, like I said to my cat, if you are stuffed full of one thing, you can't add another. You cannot pour into a cup that is full. You cannot pour into a heart that is full. You cannot move a heart that is full. You can only try, and hope and pray that that heart is touched or that your words reach through. But the truth is, you cannot pour into a vessel. You cannot pour into a vessel that is full. If you're pouring into a vessel that is full, you have to look for another vessel or empty that vessel first. So if your heart is full of pain or anger or hurt, you really cannot receive new. You can't receive new oil. You can't receive the new oil of gladness. You need to move from a place where holding on to old hurts is not what you do. Also, now this is the part that trips me about forgiveness, is how the mention of somebody's name doesn't have to be a trigger point for me anymore. Now imagine if someone has done something so bad. And look, I know that there are offenses and there are offenses, there are grievances and there are grievances. I know that some people will do things to you and you will be like, I'd rather not forgive them than to let this person back in my space or in my life. I know that some people will do things to you and you'll be like, yeah, I know God doesn't like this, but I'm sticking to it because they did something really bad. I'm telling you that even that is not big enough a reason to not forgive anybody. So what happens when you don't forgive? If the person's name is mentioned, it ruins your mood, it ruins your composure. This person, without even meaning to, without being there, have so much, this person has so much, oh, Jesus, Holy Spirit. This person, without even meaning to, without even being there, has so much power over you, and it's a, why? Why? It's easier to actually forgive and let love grow. See, and in the last lecture, I talked about, expanding your love muscle, enlarging your love muscle. One of the ways to do that is forgiveness. Because if in somebody's absence, you are harboring negative feelings towards them, you are building something else inside you that should not be there. You're building bitterness. And bitterness, oh. Bitterness is a virus. Bitterness is a cancer. Bitterness is something that you do not want to dwell in you. Bitterness is something that you don't want to live in you. Because bitterness grows from a seed to a mighty, mighty tree and a mountain, and eventually it becomes your very own property. It's controlling your actions, it's controlling your speech. You hear some passive aggressive speech and you'll be like, what is happening? What are we talking about? Why? Those things come from bitterness. It starts very small. It starts with minor things, minor snide comments about a person, minor, not really vibing with them so much. They did this or said this the other day. And before you know it, you're at a place where you can't even care about them. You are angry. You're vibrating. You don't know why. This person is around you, or someone talks about them, and your entire mood, everything you're feeling goes from positive to negative. Oof, unforgiveness can be a bondage, a yoke. When I think about a lot of these things, and how they can hold us in captivity, I understand why, being in God is the ultimate freedom. Imagine going through your day, it's all la-di-da-di-da, and you are working as you should, you're walking as you should, you're talking to people as you should, you're having a pretty fine day if you do say so yourself, you're doing the things. And then someone says, "Hey, so I saw Kevin the other day, and there's an instant cloud over you." That's what happened. And they're like, "Oh, why?" And like, "Oh, I don't like her very much." And because people are people, we're probably like, "What happened?" And then you delve further, rather, you delve further into this dark, dark, dark hole where you are upset and you are in pain and you are let go of the pain. Look, people are gonna hurt you. I think one of the best lessons that I learned early in life, because I grew up in church, was about how people are imperfect. One of the most stressful encounters of my life, of my early life, let me not say of my life entirely, but of my teenage life, of my young adult life, was dealing with someone in church, coming across someone in church who disliked me for reasons I couldn't understand. I was shocked. I was a mess over it. I cried so much because I'm like, "Well, we're in church. People in church shouldn't be like this to each other." But people in church are still people. And that's people in church, not to talk of people generally. People generally are imperfect. They're struggling with a lot of things. They're trying to be better. They're trying to break habits. They're trying to, and for those that are believers, they're trying to live the God way. And for those that are not even, Christian believers and believe in other things, everyone is trying in one way or the other to live life the best way that they know how. So they are not, nobody is perfect. Everybody is, struggling with one thing and the other. And so forgiveness should come from an understanding of the fact that just as I am imperfect, this person is imperfect. That means that they will do things that I consider imperfect, and I will do things that they consider imperfect, and I can be okay with that. And sometimes they will hurt me. Sometimes they will do things that make me feel insulted or disrespected or, etc. I will still let that go. I will not let it have a hold over me. And then there are real, bigger hurts. Like maybe in the case of somebody abusing you physically, sexually, emotionally, things like that. Even that, you can still let go just for the peace that it brings. I think if I've not said anything today, if you've not heard anything, I feel like I've been speaking for about 30 minutes. If you've not heard anything today, if you're not taking anything with you today, one thing that I want you to take with you, one thing that I want you to hold close, hold on to, is forgiveness will bring you peace more than it will bring the other person peace. It's very rare that, it's very rare that someone offends you and then they are, in a state of unrest as a result of that. It's very rare. Say that again. It's very rare that someone offends you and they are in a state of unrest as a result of that. Usually, I just kissed the mic. There's a lot of fur in it, so that's weird. Yes, it's very rare. Okay, it's highly unlikely that someone will offend you and be in a state of unrest because of it. What is more likely is that they offend you, they feel guilt, but it's awkward. They don't want to apologize, or they even apologize, but that apology is not powerful enough to, win you over sometimes. So, for your own sake of rest, for your own peace of mind, when someone offends you, even before they do the right thing before they come and, do the retribution, apologize, all of that before they get there. You can get there first. There's nothing bad about you getting there first. You can get there first. You can forgive them before they come so that your peace or lack thereof is not hinged upon their action. That's something you need to do. The ultimate example of forgiveness for me, right, is Jesus at the cross. Beaten, insulted, spat upon, all the things. And he says, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they are doing. You're praying for somebody who has hurt you so much. It's a whole thing for me. It's a whole thing for me. I can't even lie to you. Because at some point, I'd be like, man, I don't know. So before I would read that scripture and be like, man, it's not me. I mean, now I'm a work in progress. I'm not gonna lie and say now I forgive everybody. Yeah, I forgive everything without. I'm not gonna lie. I'm not gonna lie. I still struggle. I still struggle. I still struggle. But I am better by God's grace. I'm not as bad as I used to be, for sure. For sure. Another scripture about forgiveness is, even Paul in his letters, Paul talks about forgiveness a lot. There's a scripture where he talks about it in Ephesians. I think it is Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. Oh no, I'll just start from 31. You know how I talked about bitterness, unforgiveness being something that breeds bitterness? Yes. So Paul says, he says, get rid of bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. There's something that happens when you don't forgive people, right? What happens is you were the victim, then at some point you become the aggressor without even meaning to be, because you're holding on to the pain. This person now, there's a huge chance, right? And because I'm saying this generally, because a lot of people that do wrong things are very unrepentant about it. There's a huge chance that they don't even know and they don't care. So you in your own, they've done what they've done, and oftentimes because they are not thinking about you necessarily. For instance, someone harasses you, they're not thinking about you necessarily, like as a special case, because they are generally just the regular harasser. So the point is, right, like I said, the point is forgiveness is more for you than it's for the other person. Forgiveness is more about your peace, it's more about your mental balance, it's more about your own calm than it is about another person. And just to bring this back to generally letting go, if you are holding on to the old ways of doing things, let's say hold. If you're holding on to the old ways of doing things, you're never going to discover new ways to do things. Excuse me, if you're holding on to something that somebody has done, even after they've changed, you will never see them as that person. You will always see them through the lens of who they used to be. And if in the event that you are going to get new friends or new relationships or new connections that are beautiful for you, because you are now seeing people, because chances are when you are in that state, it stops being about the one person. At this point, hasty general, no, not hasty generalization. This is not hasty. At this point, generalization occurs. So at this point, generalization occurs, because I realize that I'm squeezing that. But yes, so at this point, generalization occurs, and you're not seeing the person who has offended you now. You are seeing everybody as the person who has offended you. And so it affects your relationships. It affects how you speak. You can check it. You can check it. Some there are certain people that you talk to or treat a certain way that spurs from how somebody treated you, and you can't seem to let that go. Like you can't seem to recover from that. One of the first steps to recovering from trauma is first letting go of the person who affected that trauma in the first place. My cat just jumped. Sorry about that. One of the first ways, right? One of the first steps to healing is forgiving the person who caused your trauma, letting them go, taking them away from the center. When you forgive somebody, right? I know people say, I'll forgive, but I'll never forget. You actually need to forgive and forget. Now, I'm not saying forgetting what the person did. That's basically impossible and not realistic. No. I'm saying forget the hurt that is attached to what they did. So if I'm going to talk about how someone did something to me maybe 2 years ago, I'm not talking about it and then getting angry again. I'm talking about it maybe as giving information, relaying a story, talking about an experience. But I'm not talking about it and stewing in anger all over again. That's what it means when we say forgive and forget. To say forgive and forget, oh, that's what I mean when I say forgive and forget. To say forgive and forget does not mean forget that it happened. That is not possible. I don't think that you can forget that that happened. Or I mean, maybe eventually, but it won't happen so quick. It won't happen naturally. It's that take the time to move away from the hurt. So if you are gonna heal from something that someone has done to you, no matter how big it is, right, it starts with taking them away from the center of that hurt. You know, separating them from that hurt or from the hurt you feel, separating them from that center, taking them out of the center, taking them out of the focus, and then looking inwards. Okay, why did this hurt me? This hurt me because so and so and so. But is this true? So someone has insulted me. And they said this. Why did this upset me? This upset me because so and so and so. It's not true. Even if it's true, they could have said it nicer. Whatever, man. I forgive them. That's usually what I do anyways. You know, at times when I can't forgive, I'm just like, God, please help me see this person as you see them. Help me see this person as you see them. It's such a powerful prayer that I pray, you know, sometimes when I'm struggling with somebody. Or struggling with something that they've done. Help me see this person as you see them. Help me speak to this person the way you want me to speak to them. Help me relate with this person in love. Help me to forgive. And so today, and basically that's I think I've come to the end of today's episode. And if you took nothing away from this, I think the most important thing for me, or the first thing that I want to say to you is let it go. Only when you let go can you create the space for new in your life? For things as well as for people, as well as for pain, as well as for hurt. Let it go. Sometimes even, you know, in that pain, in that thing, there are lessons to be drawn from them. So maybe draw the lesson, but don't hold those people in that place where they are your anger button. They become your trigger point. They become the thing that the name that someone has to say to get you to go crazy or get you upset. The name or the thing that someone has to say to take you back to your trauma. Don't give anybody that much power over you and your mental calm. So forgiveness is for you. Yes, that's the point. That's the point of this entire thing today. Forgiveness is for you. It's not for them. It's not for anybody. It's for you. And even the Bible says it. Forgiveness is for you in that it helps you to earn forgiveness from God. Because if you don't forgive, you can't expect forgiveness. And, you know, it's just forgiveness is one of the biggest activities to strengthen your love muscles. Actually, in any relationship, you know, apart from the usual communication, you know, and all the things that we're encouraged to do, one of the things that you will do a lot, even in your friendships now, because when people say relationships, everybody just thinks we're talking about like romantic relationships, people that are dating or courting or married. No, even in your friendships, one of the biggest activities or the daily reoccurring things, one of them in every relationship is forgiveness. Letting things go, letting people go, understanding people, giving people grace. Not holding people, not putting people at the center of your pain, not turning people to the point of pain. It starts from forgiveness. Your relationship, your love, like it says in Proverbs, your love will grow with forgiveness. So yeah, I know I've said it like 4 times, but if there's anything you need to take away from this day, forgiveness is more for you than is for another person. If you heard nothing that I said, or you got up to this point of the podcast, you know, maybe you're just enjoying my voice for some easy listening, I guess. But yeah, if that's the case, just hold on to this above everything else. Forgiveness is more for you than it is for them. So for your own peace, for your own joy, for your own rest, and just so that you can stand before the Lord easily, knowing that you are forgiven because you are a forgiver. Yeah, forgive. Let it go. Let it go. Like I said to my cat, let go of the old stuff so that you can have space for new stuff. Let it go. It's all in the past. It's gone. Let it go. Let it go. To mirror God, God already forgave us before we even sinned, right? Because that was the point of Jesus coming. And I can imagine if you decide to forgive people before they offend you. See how much stronger it makes your relationships. So you know that your friends that you've decided to love, you know, I mean, in communicating my love style, I tell people that I'm intense, but actually what I mean is I have decided to love you, and that's that about that, you know. And so one of the things that will happen in that relationship is, even for the things that you've not done, I've decided to love you, I forgive you. But imagine spreading that to other people, right? So I forgive my close friends and family easier. I forgive people that I have decided to love easier. But I am still growing to the point where I do it easily for everyone. But that's the point we should be at. You can, nobody's saying don't rebuke. You can rebuke. You can correct. You can, you know, reprove if you need to. But forgiveness is an act of love, right? Except it's not only benefiting them, it's benefiting you too. It's a two-way act of love. You are the one doing it, it's one person doing it, but it's a two-way act of love. Because when you forgive somebody, you know, it's you loving them. You're showing them love. But then you're also showing yourself love in that you are releasing the pressure and the pain and the hurt from your mind. You are literally releasing the pressure of the negativity that that experience brings to you. Yeah, so forgive someone today. Think of people that have hurt you. Make the decision to forgive them today. And when that's hard, you know, pray for them. Pray for them. When somebody hurts you, you don't know what to do. Just pray for them. You're struggling, especially when you're struggling with forgiveness. Pray for them. Pray for them and see what happens. And that's the end now. That's the real end for real. That's the talk for today. So for today's song, I do have it here. It's A Heart That Forgives by Kevin Levar. This song is an old song, right? I was struggling with unforgiveness at some point. Now, this recommended song segment is going to be a little lengthy, but please bear with me. I was struggling deeply with unforgiveness at some point. Like, my mom literally used to say, Kemi, your heart is like a well. Because I would say nothing, but, you know, I would hate you so silently. I would just hate you very heavily. And so in that season of my life, I listened to this song a lot, you know. It made me cry a lot. I listen to this song a lot. It's A Heart That Forgives by Kevin Levar. And the reason why I want to talk more about this song is the lyrics, actually. So it talks by, like, I'm going to read out the lyrics. And you can listen to it later. But I'm just going to read out the lyrics so you get what I mean. It says, I want a heart that forgives, a heart full of love, one with compassion just like yours above, one that overcomes evil with goodness and love. Like it never happened, never holding a grudge. I want a heart that forgives, that lives and lets live. One that keeps loving over and over again. One that men can't offend because your word is within. One that loves without price like you, Lord Jesus Christ. I want a heart that loves everybody, even my enemies. I want to love like you, be like you, just like you did. I want a heart that forgives. I'm going to read verse 2. Verse 2 is my favorite part of the song. I want a heart that forgives when the pain is so deep and it's so hard to speak about it to anyone. Just like your son, I give up my rights to hold it against them with hatred inside. I want a heart that loves everybody, even my enemies, you know. And then he repeats it. I want to love like you, be like you, just like you did. I want to walk like you, talk like you, just like you did, you know. And so when... Sometimes it gets hard, right? See, because I'm thinking about the song again, I'm tearing up. But yes, it's very hard. It's very hard. Between me and you, I have been very hurt by some very, very trusted individuals, people that I trusted. And I think one of the biggest hurdles that I had to pass through was learning to let it go. And it can be very hard to look at someone that has hurt you and say, oh, that doesn't matter, I love you, but you can do it. Again, I don't know why I'm just circling around this. Again, please, I encourage you today, if someone has hurt you, take it to God, take them to God, and ask for that heart, a heart that forgives. Listen to this song, Heart That Forgives by Kevin Leba. It's really one of my favorites. It's a random, it's very out there, but it's one of my favorite songs. I do sing at times. I do dabble in music, so I listen to everything I can. But yeah, that's just by the way. I said that to not get emotional. I was starting to tear up, and I'm wearing makeup. I don't look like it, but I'm not about to let this mascara run. So yeah, listen to the song The Heart That Forgives. And I just pray for you and pray with you that God will continue his good work in your heart and that your love muscle will truly be enlarged. Because, I said it before in the last episode, a lot of the problems stem from a lack of love. I pray for you today that your love muscle will be enlarged, that your heart will grow and expand and be strengthened and just become like that of God. Your heart and my heart. And that this forgiveness thing will become easier for us. That loving people like God does will become easier for us. Loving people, loving our friend, what manner of love is this, that a man can lay down his life for his friend? That we'll get to that point where we genuinely love, not just in words, but in actions and in thoughts and in deeds, in Jesus' name. And that is all for today, Thank you so much for listening. If you've listened this far, it's been beautiful sharing with you once again. I really am grateful for every time that I get the opportunity to just do an episode, and I'm praying, just for strength and grace to continue this. I did fall into like a depressive episode after claiming very strongly on this podcast that nothing can steal my joy. So I know that the devil tries tricks like that occasionally. But God is my strength and your strength and all our strength. And that's all for today. And lastly, I'll say, dear friend, I hope all is well with you and that you're as healthy in body as you're strong in spirit. God bless you. I don't know why I paused like that. Well, God bless you. Bye.